Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki, it's here to get ready to serve it up. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience as we move toward the NBA draft and all the moving parts associated with that. Obviously a fun time of the year on this Tuesday around the country. What's up there, Captain Crunch guy?
You like that?
It's the second time you won the shirt.
Captain Crunch. I love this one.
It's great cereal.
It is my favorite one.
It's great
Crunch
cereal.
Berries, it'd be better.
You know what? The only problem with that is you eat it. For those of us not watching, as Tiki's got the caricature from the Captain Crunch.
But it's like a baby Captain Crunch, dude.
It is a little baby, a small Captain Crunch. But if you eat that, it just rips apart the roof of your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's raw.
You have to let it sit and soak, but then it's not crunchy. So
no.
The taste is good.
Then you guzzle down the sugary milk, and you go from there. Well, you know, I got to tell you, one thing that I think is really interesting, a big picture parachute view of the NBA. And all the stories you and I have discussed and what's transpired, what still will transpire, you know, obviously historic run by Kawhi and the Raptors, let's just stay put. The Warriors' dynastic run coming to a screeching halt due to the injuries. What do they do? How do they reset? How do they recalibrate? LeBron, his first year with the Lakers, now he's got AD. Does he get the third wheel? What else do they do for a while? And this still might happen to an extent, but the Knicks and the Nets and the Clippers poised for big summers. You know who we kind of gloss over, but we can no longer gloss over? We got to get to the Celtics today.
Yeah, you're right.
We have to talk about the Boston Celtics.
You know why, BT? Because we've forgotten about Danny Ainge's plan, this grand plan that he had crafted over, when did that start? Probably 2014, 15?
Well, when he traded Pierce and Garnett to the Nets.
14 or 15. It was a couple years after they won the championship.
I think it was before 15.
Maybe it was, but they won the championship, obviously, and it was great. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. Boston, you know, was insane. Celtics fans were obviously ecstatic, and they ran it out a couple times. Let's see if we can get another couple, and it didn't work. Didn't happen. They lost to the Heat. Obviously, that's why some of the root of the angst with their sharpshooter. I'm forgetting his name now.
Talk about Ray Allen.
Ray Allen Ray Allen stems from that. But then you realize very quickly they're not winning another championship. He very smartly stripped it down and started over, and he started acquiring picks right before he even did anything. Before he brought in, you know, Jaylen Brown or drafted Jason Tatum, it was pick, 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 pick. And man, Danny Ainge got a ton of, what the hell are you doing all these picks, Danny Ainge? Mm-hmm. And he started like maneuvering them, and he started to build this team, and you lauded him, right?
Yes,
this did. This is brilliant. Yeah. He might be one of the best GMs in the NBA right now. But here we sit, you know, three or so years into this plan that I think he had, and it feels like it's going to crap right now. So, yeah, he's got to be held to account a little bit, I think.
But the problem is, I'm not so sure how we adjust at this point. Because if you look at what the plan was with the boatload of assets, the treasure chest of assets, we all thought, well, it's for a rainy day for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, a Laker. Kyrie Irving, and this is one thing I just don't get about Kyrie Irving. You know, his quirkiness, he's a little bit odd in the sense that, you know, the report from Woj that he's basically ghosted the Celtics. That's the term that they use there. I mean, why not? Was it that bad of a relationship? Was it that toxic that you can't give, you know, a respectful call? Hey, you know, I'm ready to move on. Just I don't want to leave you guys, you know, get to safe ground. Give yourself a chance to get away from the waters that are about to come on the boat because I'm bouncing.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You should.
I mean, come on.
Because think about how he got there. I mean, the whole talk when he left Cleveland, BT, was I need to be around a smart team. Right, a coach who's going to challenge me intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he had respect for Danny Ainge, because we all have respect for Danny Ainge. And then two short years later, one of which was truncated because he was hurt. So really just a year of him being fully available and the alpha, the leader in that locker room. And he's like, I'm out. I'm not even going to talk to you guys. Mm-hmm. It went that awry that quickly. Well, it makes you wonder, especially given, you know, his history with LeBron and the Cavaliers, is this Kawhi or is this the Celtics? And you got to start saying it's Kawhi. And that attitude, BT, that you mentioned, hey, who wants that? I know you're a superstar, mm-hmm. and you can put people on skates and take their jocks and wrap it around their heads, but I mean, who wants that attitude?
The Nets. He's going to be a Net. The Nets want it.
And why? Because they want relevancy? I think they were relevant in their growth over this past season. I didn't expect the Nets to be that good.
Well, no, their culture. Listen, when we've talked about the Nets, we've certainly illuminated just how strong their culture's become, and yes, the decisions that Sean Marks and, you know, what they've done and the players they brought in, the decisions that mm-hmm. they've made. Kenny Atkinson, he's a competitive guy.
Every time we talk about him,
we always give him the props. But I think the difference, like if they were the Memphis Nets or if they were the Utah Nets, or I think that because they play 8 miles from the Knicks,
yeah,
that even though right now they're exponentially better than the Knicks, they are still treated as, you know, a second-class team. I mean, it's all the speculation was Durant, Knicks, Kyrie, Durant, Knicks. And a lot of people ignored what was, you know, palpable growth, like real stuff you have to respect. If you appreciate the grind and the intellect and the foresight that is required to lift a moribund franchise, if you appreciate that, now it might not be the most glamorous radio conversation.
Yeah.
It's not as sexy as, you know, who the Lakers are going to get now and, you know, oh, LeBron, did he make the right choice? Do they want to trade him? Palenka, Magic Johnson, Kevin Durant, Knicks. It's a different conversation, but it's a conversation that should at least on some level be had. But I think because they're 8 miles from the Knicks, they largely get glossed over. And I think that this could be to their detriment if they actually break away and start to color outside of their lines, mm-hmm. the lines that got them to where they are now, and they start seeing relevance and big stage and we're going to run the show and this, and maybe their judgment's a bit clouded. Maybe they really should keep D'Angelo Russell and not sign Kyrie, but that's not what they're going to do.
At the end of the day, I know that Kyrie is a better player right now, but could D'Angelo Russell grow into a better player than Kyrie? That's the question you got to ask,
mm-hmm.
if you're the Nets right now. And again, it comes back to Kyrie in so many ways because he's an enigma in my mind, right? I want to trust that he's that star that I want, right?
Yeah.
I want to believe that maybe this first year of having to be that actual leader, you know, not the, you know, the second fiddle to LeBron James, but the actual leader, was just some growing pains, even though he's not young, not that young anymore. He's still young, but he's not that young in the NBA sense anymore. He's 8 seasons in,
yeah,
right? I mean, at some point, you got to figure out how to talk to young players and grow young players and lead young players, and it just didn't happen. So I want to believe that this was just an anomaly with the Boston Celtics. But when you hear, like, all that went on, and you just start ticking it back, like everything that went on all throughout the season, and these new reports that he treated Jason Tatum just like LeBron treated him, which he hated,
mm-hmm.
right? So why do it to Jason Tatum? Like the tough love works. No, it doesn't. They hated you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Rozier.
I mean, he didn't mince a word.
No.
When he talked about Kyrie Irving. So I mean, the Celtics have gone awry, and I want to believe in Danny Ainge still. I just can't. Because I don't know what the plan B could possibly be. Right? Think
so
of all the things.
So you're going to put that out there that definitively. You're going to actually say you can no longer believe in Danny Ainge.
Well, I can't believe in this plan.
The evaluation's over?
This original plan,
yep,
that was, I have all of these assets, and I'm going to bring it. I know who I'm drafting. You guys can take Lonzo and what's the other kid that goes down to Atlanta?
Fultz,
Markel Fultz. You can take.
He was right.
I'm not saying he was wrong. He was absolutely right. Accumulating all those, he had the plan.
Yep.
And it worked right until Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle, lower leg. And then he comes back, had a couple of good games.
Yeah, he was.
He's a shell of himself.
He's diminished.
He's a shell of who he was. Kyrie, who was supposed to be that spark and that catalyst to lift these three young players, along with Al Horford, who got to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James last year. LeBron's out in La La Land now, and look what you put out there this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a disaster, BT. We probably are masking all the things that went on behind the scenes that we don't know. The whole Brad Stevens, can you manage an ego? Clearly he couldn't mm-hmm. for a lot of the season. It showed up for a little bit in the postseason, but then the same thing just came running back. So if I'm looking at Danny Ainge and his plan, this plan A, I hate it, man. It didn't work out. And Al Horford opted out.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's going to be retained there. True, I think he's going to resign. I think he wants to stay. Okay. I don't think he's jumping off the boat. I think it's just a monetary. I think he wants to stay.
Kyrie's bouncing.
He's out.
Rozier doesn't want to be there anymore. It's just the best laid plans. It didn't work out for him.
No, it didn't.
I hope there's a plan B, because it was – We were putting him on a pedestal, man.
Yeah.
And
we're going to pull it back now.
You got to pull it back.
That's fair. Listen, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's fair. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. You know, listen, maybe Kyrie's one of these guys, and there's not a ton of them in the NBA, mm-hmm. although LeBron's taken on this existence, ironically, where, you know, maybe he just has a very transient basketball existence.
Yeah.
1 year at Duke, certainly not going to penalize him for that. You're talented enough to leave after, and he only played 12 games, got hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt, right?
So but he was still number one overall pick. So you're not going to say, well, he's transient because he stayed in college for 1 year, because that applies to all these kids now. Mm-hmm. But 1 year at Duke, couple of years in Cleveland, goes sour with LeBron, goes to the Celtics for a minute, that's over. He's going to wind up with the Nets, sign a four-year deal. Does anybody either A, believe he sees the end of that four-year deal, which, by the way, I don't, if his body even holds up, which I'm not so sure that it will, and if he is somewhat content throughout the duration of the four-year contract we all expect him to sign with the Nets, do we think that he signs again?
Yeah.
And at that point, my answer would be no. So all of a sudden, you look at this, when you begin to look at his stats down the road, and the young kids say, man, Kyrie, man, he hit that shot against Kyrie. He was Uncle Drew. He's filthy with the handle. Cleveland, Celtics, Nets, Lakers. I mean, for another team.
Yeah,
it's like
you.
It doesn't add up. It's just a quirk. It's an odd existence for somebody who was so great. The other thing I would throw in there, and I know it's not quite the same comparison. We destroyed let me ask you, what's the ultimate goal in any sport?
This, to win a championship.
Bingo. We destroyed the Sixers year upon year. The process, it's hollow, it's wrong, it's never going to work. We destroyed them, and rightfully so.
It didn't work.
They had five draft picks. They took the wrong guy.
Right. It didn't work, by the way.
It didn't work.
They got as far as they did this year because Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. But, ironically, who's in a better spot right now? The Celtics or the Sixers?
Yeah.
It's the
76ers. It is the 76ers. Because, by the way, that plan B for the 76ers, which you just kind of gloss over now, was getting Anthony Davis, which they didn't even get a meeting.
I know.
Right?
I know.
I mean, there was thought that if Anthony Davis ended up with the Celtics, he wouldn't even play.
Yeah, well, his dad said that. He somewhat refuted that.
But still.
But that's coming from your pops. That's coming from someplace up that's truthful.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like some guy in the corner, yo, I heard AD ain't going to play for the Celtics. No, it's pops who said
right.
that. His dad.
Yeah.
His dad knows what he's thinking.
But to answer your question, 76ers are in a better spot.
Yeah. But that's why we had to start the show. And it's not our mission to crush Danny Ainge. Matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this. The day after he had the heart attack,
mm-hmm.
I actually broached this very tepidly, but I felt uncomfortable going deep because of his condition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thank God he's okay, and we knock on wood. Hopefully he's all right and lives a long, healthy, prosperous life. Now we can get down to the nuts and the bolts of evaluation. And to Tiki's point and to mine, he ain't getting the job done. We overrated right. who he is and what he does.
You're right. I'm not crushing him because he won a championship. He is a championship level player, obviously, but also GM and president of basketball operations. This plan A and B, which was Anthony Davis, didn't work.
No,
you got to be held to account to it. It's been a while now. Not that it's, you know, Celtics should be winning every 5 years or whatever it may be. It's been a while since they won a championship now, mm-hmm. and I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Are we off base? You heard what we said. We laid it out. We think we're fair. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you want to join us and pile on. 1-855-212-4227. All right, so we talked about the Celtics. Here's a question for you. What happens, and there are at least, and we'll go through this coming up, at least five fluid pieces that will change the puzzle dramatically. What happens, Kawhi, if he leaves and he goes to the Clippers, the Eastern Conference, It's a coin flip. Yeah, I know Bucks fans. We didn't forget about it. I got you.
Yeah, you still
got
to hang on to Chris Middleton.
And Giannis needs to get a jump shot before we start throwing you in the finals every year. What becomes of the Eastern Conference? Teak and I will get into this. It is incredibly fascinating. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Are you taking good care of your car? Well, show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes to filters, fluids, and fuses, O'Reilly Auto Parts has it all. O'Reilly's stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It's one-stop shopping for all your vehicle's needs. Need something else? Well, the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help. And if you don't have time to get to a store, just shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped to your home or right to the store. Want to buy even more stuff? Become an O'Reilly O Rewards loyalty member, and you'll earn points every time you shop, no matter how you shop. Reach 150 points and earn a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Tuesday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM, Channel 206. We'll get some calls here in a minute. Next hour, by the way, Tiki and I will refute the incredibly lazy narrative that has permeated the basketball world now for a couple of months.
Yep.
It's only a three-player draft. No, it's not, and we'll tell you why. So that's coming up next hour. Inbounds, out of bounds, next segment. Teak, let me throw something at you. All right, so just to refresh everybody's memory, 1-8, Bucks, Raps, Sixers, Celtics, Pacers, Nets, Magic, Pistons, playoff teams a year ago in the Eastern Conference, right? Put the Bucks in a separate space because they deserve it, even though Giannis has to learn to shoot there, and they've got some free agents.
He's almost an MVP. So.
Just about.
If he isn't the MVP, we don't know yet.
Bucks are an absolute minimally 50-win team lock, an ascending team with a great coach and a great young player. Bucks are fine. Raptors, probably going to lose Kawhi. 76ers, probably going to lose Butler and Harris.
Maybe Tobias Harris. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Celtics are going to lose Kyrie Irving. The Pacers are going to get Victor Oladipo back to a team that we kept saying had no chance to get. You know, how are they still winning? And they did, and Oladipo, he's coming back.
Right.
The Nets will, in all probability, lose Russell, who was terrific for them last year, but gain Kyrie. And, you know, the Knicks won't have the impactful summer, I thought, based on the injury to KD. And the Wizards, talk about a variable, they're going to deal Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
The Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it's completely up in the air.
What?
It's completely up in the air. Now, the only thing... I'll back up to the Celtics real quickly because, and yes, I included Al Horford opting out as sign of, man, what the heck is going on? He probably just wants to get one last, you know, shot at the pot before his time for big contracts expires. The Celtics need him. They need a veteran presence, especially with Kyrie not being there right now. And Al was probably the better locker room guy.
No, probably.
He was the better locker room guy than Kyrie. But know what I mean? I don't know, but I'm saying
no, he is.
He definitely was, right?
100 times
So let's
better.
Assume he comes back, right? And we go back to last season when Jaylen Brown and Rozier, who may or may not be back, I think he's probably gone, Terry Rozier, that is, Jason Tatum, surprised the heck out of us in the postseason. And they just kept winning, right? It was like, man, Jason Tatum's going to be a superstar. Not just a star. He's going to be a superstar the way he played in the postseason. And he got to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers, and he took a step back, right? It was like men versus boys. But it was promising. Mm-hmm. With Kyrie now... likely gone. Is it addition by subtraction for the Celtics? Could we see what we saw two seasons ago return for the Celtics team, right? Because one of the big issues that Brad Stevens had was managing, one, Kyrie's ego, and then 2 minutes, right? He couldn't get guys on the court, right? It was a blessing. Mm-hmm. In fact, when Marcus Smart got hurt because he didn't have to worry about finding how to stick him into the lineup, interestingly, in the postseason when he came back is when they faltered again. So, I mean, maybe without Kyrie, it reverts to what we saw 2 years ago?
I don't think so, because of what's changed around it. Absolutely, Jason Tatum's going to find his way. Jason Tatum's too gifted not to.
Yeah.
He's going to reassert himself, and it's going to come pretty naturally. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you go back to that season, and I'm looking at it right now, you know, the Hawks were the 5 seed at 43-39.
Yeah.
I mean, the weakened state of the conference, you know, the Bulls were the 8 seed as a 500 team. The Pacers, you know, Paul George obviously still there. The Wizards were 16 games over 500. Since that point, they've disintegrated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the situations are going to, while they could disintegrate, and I just ran through a few scenarios here, I mean, I think the Nets, if the Nets get Kyrie, and they're going to, even though I don't love Kyrie, if Kyrie's locked in and he's a good teammate, the Nets are going to win 55 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to.
If they keep everything.
And that's if they don't add anybody else in addition to Kyrie, which they can.
Which they obviously can.
What if they get Kyrie
and Butler? Because with all the moves they made right prior to the end of the finals, they cleared all the space. They have all this cap space right now.
That's right. They made that trade, and they freed up, I think it equated, what was it, $43 million? Mm-hmm. We talked about it on the air. It seemed like a rather innocuous trade. We're like, wait, they made a trade with the Hawks. But then when you actually dig into it, as we did on the air in real time, you're like, wow, this is not just one move on the checkerboard or the chessboard. This is four moves to give yourself a chance to start crowning some people, what they're trying to do.
You're right.
Let's get some calls, see what's happening here. Let's go to Iowa. Trey has us up on 1700, the champ, I believe that is, in Iowa. What's up, Trey? How you doing today?
What's up, guys? First time. I appreciate you taking my call.
Pleasure, man.
Enjoy listening to you guys quite a bit, and I'm going to try to keep it quick.
It's all good. Express yourself. Go for it, Trey. What do you have?
So you guys talked earlier about Boston, and we saw them in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then you see Hayward come back and Kyrie come back, and it turns into a dumpster fire. And now you're hearing rumblings in Houston, and I'm just thinking out loud here, and I just want to get you guys' take on it. What teams do you think on both conference sides really are looking at themselves as a position to try to win now that Golden State is clearly banged up for the next season?
Yeah.
But probably not on their way there, because I'm looking at Houston and what's going on now.
No.
And I'm looking at a team like Brooklyn who might lose one of their star young players just to go get Kyrie.
Yeah, but, I mean, the question is it an upgrade? Is it enough of an upgrade to move them up the ladder, so to speak, that is Kyrie instead of D'Angelo Russell? The answer is probably yes. But when you think about all these, to answer your question directly, there's a couple of teams. The Los Angeles Lakers are definitely making a run at this this year. Is it going to be viable? We don't know. This is what the majority of our conversation was yesterday, BT, was, yeah, they got AD and LeBron, but who the hell else do they got, right? They got a lot of work to do. At least Rob Pelinka has a lot of work to do convincing either really high-level players to take less to come there and fill out their team, or be really smart in free agency, because they don't have a draft, right? The only way they're doing this is free agency.
Yep.
And that's guys saying, I want to go play with LeBron and AD, and I want to be in Los Angeles, and I want to deal with the I'll call it nonsense, because I can't think of a better word, the nonsense that comes with being a teammate for LeBron James.
Drama.
Right? The drama. You have to opt in for that for a lower price than you probably could get elsewhere. I'm not convinced that's going to happen. but the Lakers are making a run at it. The Houston Rockets need to try to make a run at it, but they need to figure out a way to do what the Toronto Raptors did, like Masai Ujiri did. It's going to take some hard choices. Maybe you do got to get rid of your coach. Maybe you do got to part ways with somebody who you didn't really think you would in order to get it done. But Houston is in the prime position to do it. The other team, BT, that I would think about, but I also don't know how they do it, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, there were times last season when we watched Russell Westbrook defer and not have to be the guy. And we saw Paul George elevate to a top three or four MVP quality player in this league. And then we get to the postseason, and Russell Westbrook became Russell Westbrook again. So maybe OKC, but it will require a different coach, because someone who can hold Russell Westbrook to account is probably too late to do that right now. So to answer your question, there are going to be teams that are going to try to do it. I don't know who does it effectively enough, though.
I've said many times on the show, it's very hard to honestly self-assess where you hold yourself accountable Especially, you know, if it's just outside of your own individual realm. Like, if it's outside of a relationship and you're actually beginning to self-assess for multiple people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts, and that's challenging. You're talking about, and pertaining to basketball, finances, you know, roster construction, flexibility, egos, personalities, trajectories. There's just a lot of variables that you're kind of not guessing on. Otherwise, that's not the smart way to do it. But there's not you don't have direct answers in front of you. So I do think that if the Warriors were fully right, I'm going to give you two teams. If they were honestly self-assessing, they would not view themselves as potential champions, and that would be the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah.
But based on the circumstances of the Warriors, if they're they should be attacking this summer, saying, "Why not us? Why not?
Portland.
Why can't
Portland's
we find
a good one?"
But so is Denver. Won 54 games a year ago. Had the best home record, and Porter's going to play next year.
But the thing,
and Murray's going to be better, and all these guys are going to be more experienced and more seasoned and better.
Yeah, but Portland has a really good backcourt.
They've got a great backcourt. And McCollum's still 27 years of age. So, you know, every year there's a trade where we're like, wow, that kind of came out of nowhere. If they can ever add a glue guy or a third piece, and I don't even mean a third piece like a Butler, like a pseudo superstar or a borderline superstar, but a slightly below the radar player that can really, whether it's a shooter, whether it's a 3-and-D guy, both, whatever it is, whether it's somebody that can handle the ball and whatever their deficiencies might be. The Nuggets and the Blazers have to think they have a chance to get in the ring and win.
That's a good one.
Why not?
You're right.
You know? 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Oh, the draft. I love the NBA. I used to go to the NBA draft every single year.
Was it always?
It was always at the Garden when I went.
The Garden?
Yeah, when I was doing local. And it was always cool. And
it's easy. It's not like the NFL draft, which is tedious.
Better access.
You're right.
We had a great time in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, like, actually being in the draft.
Yeah,
I remember
when
the draft was at
Radio City.
Radio City.
Yep.
It was like a nut house.
It's like trying to permeate a labyrinth and find your way out. You know,
here's
the little metal ball.
Yeah, and there's crazy fans everywhere. I mean, it was nuts.
It's crazy. No, the NBA draft is good. But for you, we'll do this coming up next hour here. Teek and I will dispel the notion that it's incredibly overrated. It's not a three-player draft. We'll tell you exactly why. We have Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up after ACK, which is right now. ACK, how you doing, buddy? You good?
I'm all right. I left school for the 86 draft, which is back in the
day. That was the worst draft of all time?
The
Washburn, Pearl Washington,
Len Bias,
of course.
Right.
A lot of drug issues in that 86
draft, Bedford.
Right? William Bedford from NC State.
No, Memphis.
I mean, from Memphis, you had the kid from NC, Chris Washburn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You jinxed it, basically. You should have stayed in school. I mean, Ackman showed up and he ruined the draft.
That's the
same literally the worst draft of all time.
Yep. Yeah.
Good job, Ack.
So, thank you.
A little foreshadow of his career. Nah, just kidding. Here's Ack's update. We'll get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds after that. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, back here on, it's a good NBA time. It really is. NBA is taking over. And thanks to Ack sidetracking us with that 1986 reference out of my own curiosity. I knew most of the names. I had to go back and look at this again. I mean,
anyone made it all-star at any of them?
Ron Harper was a very important player in the NBA. John Sally from Georgia Tech, Pistons, bounced around a little bit. But some of these, Len Bias, of course, died. The cocaine overdose, never played a second in the NBA.
Yeah.
Brad Daugherty, the first overall pick, was a boy. You know, he was an all-star couple that's never a superstar, but certainly good.
NASCAR superstar.
That's true. That is true. But how about some of these names? Chris Washburn, who was the third overall pick by the Warriors. He played 2 years, in and out, cocaine, you know, all sorts of relapses, booze, just a mess. Kenny Walker, obviously clean off the court from my Knicks, but just not nearly the player. I loved him in college. I like that pick, too. I never forget, I was in a Burger King parking lot, and I came back at a baseball game.
Uh-huh.
We got Ewing the year before, right? So this is the year after the 85 Ewing draft when everybody says the lottery was fixed. And Kenny Skywalker was a beast at Kentucky, beast. And I remember sitting there, and I had a game, it was my dad, and I think I was 11, 12. I obviously wasn't driving. And so we were getting Burger King, and we listened to the draft on the radio, and I heard them say, you know, Kenny Skywalker, fifth overall to the Knicks. And I thought it was a great pick. He wasn't good at all.
No.
Couldn't shoot. Didn't win the dunk contest.
Yeah,
couldn't shoot.
Say, he had a fun nickname.
He did. William Bedford had all sorts of drug issues. Roy Tarpley was in that draft, all sorts of drug issues. Pearl Washington, may he rest in peace. Not drugged, but just wasn't. He only played 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, so 1986, you want to do a little digging. It's a rabbit hole, but it is absolutely the worst draft of all time. It's crazy. 855-212-4227. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a minute. Squeeze in some more calls, Teague. See what's cooking. Let's get the David, who has us up in California, 102.7 FM. David, Teague and Tierney, what's up, man? How you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Okay. All right. What's up? Where are you in California? What part, by the way?
Cathedral City.
Give me more.
Where's Cathedral
Palm Springs area.
Gotcha. Oh, gotcha.
Cathedral City.
Good area.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Good place to be. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, you guys were talking about the Blazers and trying to make a run to get a championship.
Yep.
And that they needed to sign someone else. Well, the Pelicans just let go of Julius Randle. What do you guys think of Portland signing Julius Randle?
Independent of Portland. David, it's a good question. They didn't let him go. He decided not to opt in, so he's doing this on his own volition.
He opted out.
They would never let him go. Now, if they're going to give him $190 million, that's a different discussion. Yeah. I don't think they will. But Julius Randle becomes a very interesting variable this summer. He had a hell of a season.
We had this conversation yesterday in inbounds and out of bounds, actually, which we're about to get into in here in a second, about whether or not he's a more attractive free agent than some of the big names that are out there. And the answer is, in a sense, yes, because you could potentially get him cheaper if you're a desperate team, say like the Lakers, even though he's not going to go back to the Lakers. But still, if you need to fill out a roster with a quality player, at least a guy who's grown significantly, Julius Randle's your guy.
I mean, it's a question. Why can't he go back to the Lakers? Magic even said I made a mistake.
He could.
Not that Magic's still there, but it was an acknowledgement that the organization made a mistake.
It's interesting. He might.
I don't think that that's what LeBron needs. He needs some more spacing, some more shooting.
He doesn't shoot well enough. Even though he has turned himself into a little bit of a shooter. I mean, he came into the league first couple of years. I mean, he was like a 20, maybe
22, 26, 28. Everything's sub 30.
Now he's about a 34 or 5% three-point shooter.
He's become functional.
Absolutely he has. But I think I'm in agreement with you. He's not good enough yet to be that, you know, stretch four or five.
For a team that's trying to win a championship.
Exactly. No. All right. But he would be good, I think, in Portland.
I don't disagree with that either.
Obviously, Nurkic could be back this year from the injury he suffered, and they really missed him in the postseason. But he'd be a good piece there.
Yeah, he would.
I don't know if it'd put him over the top, but he'd be a really good piece there.
I'd have to look at their finances as well. A little backcourt heavy, as we know, obviously. But, you know, Mo Harkless, you know, who I like, but isn't a difference maker. Mm-hmm. They've got to do something up in the front court, and I think that they probably will. All right, Teague inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go. Hit it, D-Cell.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
Partner, here we go. So we focus on the AD trade and the future of the rest of the 5Ks. Another name has entered the market as the Timberwolves are reportedly aggressively shopping former first overall pick Andrew Wiggins. Now he's 24 years of age, the Canadian star, formerly from, is he a star? He's not formerly, he's always from Canada, but is he a star?
He won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, like that's up for debate. He has shown flashes that we won't debate. He has obviously had a couple of good statistical years in terms of points, averaging 20 during his second and third season. Somewhat hollow, but he still put him up.
Mm-hmm.
But has since seen his scoring drop to 18 points a game the past 2 years, along with a decrease in field goal percentage and PER. In or out, Andrew Wiggins should fetch at least a top 10 pick in this year's draft.
I'm going to say inbounds here, BT, only because I still feel... Don't hear me out.
I didn't say a word.
We haven't had this conversation yet, but we will. It's not a top-heavy. It's not a three-person
draft. I like it more
draft.
Than you do.
There's some good players. My guy, DeAndre Hunter, is another
Culver,
one.
Culver, Texas Tech.
Culver's a really
Kid
good
from
player.
Vanderbilt's a stud. He's got to get healthy.
Darius Garland.
There's players.
They are some. But are there 10 of them? Maybe not. So, I mean, Andrew Wiggins, if you really want, I'm going to say inbound. So, if you parse it out, like you really go look at the, what's the strength, what's the ceiling, the projected up and down of some of these guys that are coming in the draft. Andrew Wiggins, who's already been through it, he's seasoned a little bit at 24 years old. Sorry, 5 years in the league. It's crazy.
That's why you get in early, get that extra big contract.
I would say, yeah. but maybe just barely.
That's a tough one. You know, I could probably convince myself to go the other way and not to just be different and play contrarian. My answer before I even knew what Tiki said was different. Mm-hmm. Say out of bounds here. First, a positive. You know, he can put the ball in the hole for the most part, and he is durable. Played 82 games, 81 and 82 and 82 for this 5 years in the NBA. So right. He's going to suit up.
That's a big deal.
If you're not available, you're not an asset. Yep. We get that. 33% from behind the arc. Mm. Eh. 70. That's not good at all. 73
guard. No, I mean, come on.
Precisely.
Even though he's kind of really a small forward.
Yeah, three. Yeah, I hear you. But still, he's not a lumbering center. No. He's expected to shoot at this point. 73% from the free throw line. Eh. You know what? And listen, I'm not saying there's nobody, but I would think that the cases are pretty few and far between of a player who's after his full fifth year had a PER sub 13. Became a legitimate star. Not a guy who puts up 19. There's a lot of guys who can. Somebody's got to score on bad teams. And he's been on bad teams for the most part. I know he can score a little bit. I just don't see him as an elevator. I don't see him as that guy. Mm-hmm. So I like the draft more than you do. And you're right. We'll get to this coming up here on Tiki and Tierney, top of the hour. I say out of bounds. I'm not giving up a top 10 pick for him. No.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, on Saturday night, pod slugger Manny Machado ejected from the game against the Rockies. He argued a called third strike in the fifth inning. Yesterday, Major League Baseball suspended Machado, you ready, for aggressively arguing and making contact with umpire Bill Welke. Machado's appealed the decision, denied making contact with Welke, saying, quote, "We always have the right to argue balls and strikes and give our opinion on it. You should see the video," end quote. In or out, baseball's rule of ejecting managers and players for arguing balls and strikes is antiquated and should be allowed.
In bounds. I know why they do this, BT, because they want to save time on the clock, at least our fan clock. We don't want him yelling and wasting time and all these other, I don't know, new rules that have been instituted. That was a quick toss, too, by the way. I mean, it was. He said maybe five words before he... Before
but if he said the magic word, it only takes one word.
It's a good point. I'm going to say inbounds here, BT, because, look, it's entertaining to me to see guys get heated like this. Yep. You know, in a baseball game that's usually slow and you're waiting for those big moments, when you have this type of animation, it's great. By the way, he appealed this, and he ended up playing yesterday and had a big hit to help them win the game. So I want to say inbounds. This is a little bit antiquated. Let him scream for a little bit.
I
if you go too
you.
Long,
yeah.
you can, then you can
then,
bounce
then
him.
Then you thumb him. It is exhilarating when you get a chance to just melt down. I only did that. I did that once, and it wasn't in college. It was in a summer league, and I lost it. I got booted, and it was pretty fun. All right, I'm going to say out of bounds here. And, you know, I don't really need to belabor this. It is certainly a timing issue. If you have constant chirping and a constant path from managers to home plate, where was it? Was it up? Was it in? Was it in? Was it out? I mean, you're never gonna move on.
Yeah.
It's just not gonna end. So it's a timing thing, and I just that's it. I'm gonna leave it at that. It's a timing thing, and if it becomes counterproductive, I think, after a while. Personally,
the only reason that one went long, by the way, is because he got tossed. If he would have just listened for a second, get out of here, it'd have been okay.
And by the way, there's a way to do it. If you're watching this on the show, like if you're a lefty bat, you can kind of like, you know, hey, where you can even kind of like you stretch and hey, Blue, where was that? You know, where? And,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you can say, no, it wasn't. That's outside. Stop.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Don't just they'll let you get away with that.
You're right.
Just don't berate him and embarrass him.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Gary Woodland on Sunday. We talked about this yesterday, of course, here on the show. Held off Brooks Koepka and Brooks' attempt at a historic three-peat at the U.S. Open. But Tiger Woods put on a pretty strong showing over the weekend as well, despite a few hiccups. Wasn't great, but was solid on a tough course. After bogeying four of his first six holes on Sunday, he kind of looked a little disinterested. But then, to his credit, he kicked it in and he started to get hot. Birdied six of his final 12. He shot a 69. And he finished tied for 21st at 2-under for the Open. For the season, Tiger has 7 top 21 finishes in 9 starts. He's competing, no question about it, including the Masters win and a top 10 finish at both the Memorial and the WGC Mexico Championship. In or out, Tiger will maintain this level of consistent play, we'll say, the next 3 years. What do you got?
I'm going to say inbounds here. I think Tiger he's healthy. It's now about him finding ways to be elite. It used to come easy for him, the eliteness. And now he's kind of he's an average, not an average,
like an average.
Like an above average golfer.
Yep.
He's not going to scare anybody. He's got to have that perfect round like he did at the Masters in order to be dominant and win and have that, you know, the Tiger roar back. But, yeah, I think he will be like this for the next few years. He's healthy. He's still relatively young. At least his body, you know, looks like it's back in shape physically from those last couple of years when he was battling everything. Everything. Like, literally everything. Substance abuse, everything.
Yep.
So I'm going to say, yeah, inbounds to this.
Me too. I mean, you know, the thing that's, I think, has been marginalized because we're all enamored with the home run in baseball. Mm-hmm. We're all enamored. Oh, he crushed it 337 off the tee. I think it's very easy to overlook that because his game was on ice, based on the reasons Tiki just detailed, you kind of lose your touch a little bit.
Right.
And without a touch, you can't score. You know, it's not easy for you and I to actually hit a 3-iron, but these guys know the mechanics. That's not going to really lead them totally. But, you know, working your way around the green, flop shots, thin lies, you know what I'm saying, undulations, maintaining that read and pace and all that.
Scoring area.
Yeah. And he's dialed in, and he looks good. His swing speed is still there. All the ball metrics are still there. And he's still a grinder. And that's the one thing when we talked about how great he was at his apex, I think we also lost sight of just how hard he fought. He never gave up. Some of these guys, if they're out of it, you could say it, just their body language. They check out. Yep. They're like, I'm done. I'll finish the round because I kind of have to, but I'm really not here mentally. Tiger doesn't do that.
Where's the 19th hole?
Yeah. Well, Tiger might do that, but he just finishes 18 with pride. Hour two coming up. Why the draft is better than everybody tells you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.